Good afternoon, everybody. This is the beginning of our 9 for 9 series for the 9 days, trying to share 9 brief messages that hopefully will be a source of inspiration for us even during this time of Avelos Yeshana, of ancient mourning. But as Rambam notes, it's not really only about history, it's about the present. As we look towards past events for guidance and for inspiration, Kedei La'orer Halavavos, to stimulate our hearts, Liftoach Darchei Hatshuva, to begin the process of return. So for Rosh Chodesh Av, we probably couldn't do any better than to note that it's the only yahrzeit recorded in the entire Torah. It's the yahrzeit, of course, of Aharon HaKohen. We just read in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh, the 42 different encampments of the Jewish people, the only event which the Torah sees fit to share. It doesn't talk about Mamad Har Sinai, it doesn't talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, it doesn't talk about the spies, it doesn't talk about Korach, it doesn't talk about the copper snake, it doesn't talk about anything. The only event which is recounted is the death of Aharon, B'chodesh HaChamishi, Be'echad L'chodesh, in the 5th month, the month of Av, and the very first day of the month, Rosh Chodesh Av, that is to say today. Now why would this be? I can't be certain. It always seemed to me that there was a touch of providence involved. Maybe with the Torah's eye, you know, on the future. And we have a very similar sentiment expressed by the Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Baloscha, that Aharon was being given a sort of a consolation in terms of the menorah. And the Ramban says, no, it wasn't the menorah in the Mishkan, because he felt badly that he hasn't participated in the Chanukah HaMizbeach, in the inauguration of the Mizbeach. It wasn't the menorah of the Mishkan that Aharon was being consoled with, but it was a future menorah. It was the menorah that his sons, of course, would light when they were able to purify the Beis HaMikdash during the times of the Hanukkah story. So we already have a precedent for the idea that sometimes when it comes to Aharon, there can be a little bit of a providential touch laying the seed for some very important future reference. And if indeed, as the Gemara in Yoma tells us, that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of unwarranted incivility and even hatred between members of the Jewish people, and certainly more on that over the course of this 9 for 9 series, then what better personage to enter the 9 days thinking about than, of course, Aharon HaKohen. Aharon HaKohen, as the Mishnah in Avos tells us, was an Ohev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom, an Ohev Eshabrios Umekarvan LaTorah. Aharon put a unique and singular priority on ensuring that the Jewish people could be at peace with one another. It's perhaps no surprise that the Gemara in Masech Tainis tells us that Aharon, in his merit, we had the Anane Kavod. We had the clouds of glory that surrounded us, that dissipated momentarily after he died and left us vulnerable to attack. But I think one of the beautiful images of the Anane Kavod, which surrounded us, is reminding us that we all proverbially lived in the same house, and we all have to find a way of getting along with each other. So, of course, the Midrashim, the Avos Rabbi Nassan, are very famous about how Aharon went on doing this, whether it was between a husband and wife, whether it was between friends who had grown apart from one another, and really asserting the fact that deep down, people really did want to get along with each other, and they were looking for a way of extracting themselves from any kind of pettiness that had started to influence and even erode their relationship with each other. So if this is a time to reflect on tshuva from Sinas Chinam, we probably couldn't do any better than to think of the personage and the persona of Aharon HaKohen and what he represented to the Jewish people. And the truth of the matter is, it wasn't just Aharon talking the talk, but I think what made Aharon such a singular ambassador for this message was how Aharon had lived this. He walked the walk long before he talked the talk. You know, all of Sefer Bereishis is about the older brother feeling stilted, feeling like they got the short end. The younger brother ascends, and sometimes the older brother kills the younger brother. That's the Kayin story. Sometimes they try, as Esav said to said of Yaakov, Yikrevu Yimei Evel Aviv, Argas Yaakov Achi. You know, I'm going to kill Yaakov as soon as my father dies. In the story of Yosef, as the younger brother and his older brothers, certainly comes to mind. You know, we have in Sefer Bereishis time and again this story of when the younger brother, for whatever reason, ascends to a place that the older brother might have considered rightfully his, that there is a violent reaction, that there's animus, there's malice, there's hatred. And of course, that's how the Jewish people ended up in Mitzrayim to begin with. The story of Yosef and his brothers, Vayikanuvo Echav, Vilo Yachlu Dabro L'Shalom, there could be no peace between them. Aharon breaks that trend. Aharon, despite the fact that he could have said about Moshe, not only am I older, but Moshe's been off in Midian, or who else knows where, and you know, he hasn't been suffering here with us in Egypt. But on the contrary, when Moshe is very nervous about this, and he says to God, Shlach Nabi Atishlach, who am I to go back? Send Aharon, Aharon Achicha HaLevi, he's been the leader of the Jewish people in Egypt all of this time. If I'm going to go back, it's going to be terrible for him. And Hashem says, Aharon is made of different stuff. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, he'll be truly, genuinely, authentically happy for you. And therefore, Aharon knew what shalom meant. He knew that sometimes it comes at the expense of our own ego, and he modeled that for us. And because he modeled that for us, that made his message of shalom so effective. He was able to tell the Jewish people, look, if I could find a way forward, unlike any other pair of brothers in all of Sefer Bereishis, if I'm able to do that, then surely there must be a way for us to extract ourselves from whatever ill feelings may exist between friends, between family members, and even between spouses. Everybody is in favor of shalom in theory, but when the rubber hits the road, people say, you know, if you knew the person on the other side, if you knew this person who is giving me such a hard time, everybody on some level feels that their situation where there isn't shalom is really unique. But Aharon reminds us that sometimes what it really takes is the ability to look past what it is that a person is doing and look a little bit deeper and to begin to take the high road and, in his way, lead the Jewish people on the path of shalom. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Aharon became an inspiration in this way. If Moshe always insisted on the letter of the law, Yikov Hadin Sahar, it was Aharon who was always after shalom. As the Pasuk says in Malachi, Torah Semes Haisa Befiu Ve'avlo Lo Limtza Besvasav B'Shalom Uvimishor Halachi Ti V'Rabim Heshiv Me'avon. He always looked for the path of shalom without compromising on truth, but recognizing that the deepest truth, the Torah Semes Haisa Befiu, the deepest truth is always to try to accommodate both sides. And so the Rambam rules the halacha that any bezdin that makes shalom, that makes peace, that makes a pshara in all circumstances, tamid hareza mishubach, we should always be looking to try to find a middle road, the golden mean, so to speak, which is really the path that Aharon generated for us. Aharon ohev shalom virodev shalom. And so as we enter the 9 days, there's probably nobody better to think about in terms of a persona, in terms of a legacy, than Aharon HaKohen. Thank you so much.